Well, I've driven by the Yuma Pine Church before, and I always thought it was the cutest thing ever, so I'm glad that I actually get to come here and see the inside, and y'all are cute too, so. So, I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony today, just kind of where God has led me to bring me to this point, and then share with you what I'm going to be doing this next year. So, how many of you have heard about David Livingston? Yeah. Okay, cool. What about David Gates? Yeah. Eric B. Hare, anyone grow up reading those stories? Dr. Rabbit? Yeah. So, I grew up in an Adventist household listening to and reading all these stories of missionaries. And I was quite thrilled with those stories. They touched my sense of excitement and they just always made me really excited. And so, you know, when the question starts coming, there's a question that adults always ask kids. Can you guess what it is? What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I started to say a missionary because it sounded better than a figure skater, which I knew was pretty unrealistic. And so I started to say I wanted to be a missionary. And, you know, a surprising amount of people that I would talk to would respond by saying, really, I wanted to be a missionary too. And I think that's really cool. How many people, you know, have desire to do God's service in foreign lands. And I would ask them, so, did you do it? And the response from most people was, well, you see, I got married, and then I, you know, life just got busy. And most people aren't actually able to fulfill that goal of becoming a missionary. And so I purposed in my heart to not let that happen, and it hasn't happened yet. We'll see. But growing up, I actually, even though I was interested in missionary work, I didn't actually care for Jesus all that much for a number of years until I was about 13, and I remember my grandma asking me, because my sister had gotten baptized as soon as she had turned 12, the very day, because that's when we were allowed to get baptized in my family, and my grandma asked me, so, Larissa, I've noticed you haven't expressed an interest in baptism. Is there a reason? And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders, and I didn't know how to respond, just like that I just wasn't interested. But God captured my heart that year, amen. And it turned me, you know, I was kind of opposite from most kids. Most kids are like really nice and sweet until they hit their teenage years, and then they like become brats or whatever. I was such a brat until I gave my heart to Jesus, and like there was such a difference in like my family noticed it incredibly a lot. We were talking this morning in Sabbath school about how every testimony is dramatic, even though it's small. And I was like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't exactly call my testimony dramatic, but at that time, my family could see a dramatic difference. And so I started reading the Bible, and I started reading some of the books of Ellen White. And there came a moment when I was out in nature, and I was having this beautiful conversation with God. And it was at the moment that God impressed me that to give my life to him fully, not just basically that to do not necessarily mission work, but ministry with my life, to do active ministry. And I wasn't sure what that would look like at all, but I knew that that God was calling me to not do ministry as a side, but to do it as the main course of my life. And so that next year, when I heard about a program called Youth Rush, I was very excited. Have you guys heard about Youth Rush? Maybe the word Cole Porter might ring a bell more. It's a more modern Cole Porter program, and I heard about it, and I signed up, and they said, you're too young, but apply anyways. We might have an opening. And I was able to get in, and I told them that summer, at the end of that summer, I said, like, they asked, are you coming back? And I was like, are you kidding? Like, I'm doing this for the next, like, foreseeable future. And in total, I've canvassed 7 summers. And this last one was in Lebanon, which is kind of a fun story how I got there. But and after high school, I was wondering, you know, well, where do I go from here? And I had 2 options in front of me. One is to go to Walla Walla and do nursing. And the other one was to go to this Bible college called Souls West. And in that summer, as I was deciding, I was really impressed with the thought that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming so soon. And not everyone enjoys the colporter work. In fact, it tends to scare a lot of people, and I don't understand because I love talking to strangers. But I said, you know, God has given me this unique gift of enjoying talking to strangers and sharing books with them, so why shouldn't I do something with this? And so I ended up going to Souls West, which is a Bible college for colporters, and they teach us other stuff as well, like how to do Bible work and how to do evangelism, give Bible studies, and all these things. And so I did that for 2 years, and Bible worked for a year. And at the end of that, I was really trying to see where God was leading me next, because I was a little bit burnt out about the colporter world. And God reminded me of what I was thinking in high school about going to Walla Walla and doing nursing. And I thought, well, that's an idea, because ultimately, I really have always wanted to do mission work, like, overseas. And so I was thinking, well, what would be useful, what would be helpful if I were to go as a missionary overseas? What skills can I offer that will forward the work of Jesus most efficiently in his calling for my life? And so I did end up coming to Walla Walla. And I kind of cheated and went to community college instead so that I can walk away, hopefully, without any debt. And yeah, thank you. Amen. So here I am. And, you know, there was times in my life where I was like, man, like, I just want to get out there and do mission work already. Like, this is just taking so long. 4 years is such a long time. But each step of the way, God has taught me stuff that I was like, shoot, like, this is really, it's really a good thing that I learned this here instead of, you know, making all these mistakes, you know, in the work overseas where it's a little maybe a little bit more fragile. And God has taught me so much. Now, as I was thinking about sharing my testimony with you, and I was kind of running through it in my mind, or actually out loud last night at too late, but I'm a student, and so I'm used to being up late. I was thinking, man, like, I wish that there was some way that I can say, like, wow, this miracle happened, and God led me here, and then, like, this happened, and, you know, I wish that I could share a way that, like, I've seen God work in a way that nobody can deny that it was God. And you know, I still kind of wish for that, but I realized that, like, that's not always how God works. You know, when Elijah was looking to hear the voice of God, it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the rain. It was a still small voice. And like, oftentimes that is how God leads us, through a still small voice, just through reading the Bible and to talking to godly people and even using our own desires and interests. For example, me, like, I love traveling. I love adventure. I'm not scared of, like, getting malaria, for example, which is a very real possibility next year. Those things don't scare me. And so God uses those interests that he has given me and sanctifies them and makes them pure for his service. Because otherwise, I mean, I could be, you know, backpacking Europe or doing something fun, but yeah, that would be fun. But God has used that desire to lead me in a direction that is hopefully bringing honor and glory to him. So as I was approaching the end of my nursing career, I'll be graduating in June and hopefully taking and passing the NCLEX. I was thinking, like, man, what do I need to do? Okay, I need to get, like, a year, maybe 2 years of experience. I need to get my bachelor's. I need to do all these things. And I was talking about that with, actually, Linda's daughter. And I think it was Lindsay that said, oh, I thought you were going to do mission work right after. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was going to do mission work. And so I started thinking, like, you know, like, there's all these things, you know, I need to, working for a few years as a nurse would be great to, like, kind of practice what I learned in school. But God has called me to go, and why delay that further? And so I started looking into Adventist Frontier Missions. How many of you have heard of Adventist Frontier Missions? Yeah, I'll call it AFM for short because it's easier to say. AFM is a missionary group that is, or an organization that has been sending out missionaries for, actually, I don't know how long, I should have looked that up, but it's probably around 30, 40 years or so. And I've always, like, I grew up receiving their magazines, and the stories in them maybe weren't as excited as David Livingston's stories, but they were real. They were showing how, you know, these missionaries had opportunities to talk with people and to make little differences in their lives and to slowly, gradually, you know, if you follow some stories through the years, you'll see, like, people that, like, oh, I had a chance to open a conversation with this. And, oh, this person, you know, we started to talk about Jesus in this Muslim community and to gradually growing into a living and vibrant faith. And it was just incredible to see those stories. And so I've always wanted to go with AFM. That's my goal, because they focus on the unreached portions of the world, you know, places where there's less than 5% Christians. And those, you know, if there is 5% Christians, oftentimes they're Catholic or other denominations. And so we've gone, or they've gone, not we yet, we soon. They've gone into all these crazy places. And so I started looking on what calls were available for this next year for a nurse, because, yes, I'll be a nurse. And there was 3 calls open for single nurses. One was in the Philippines, one was in West Africa, I believe, and one was in Thailand, but it didn't really sound like they were wanting a nurse. They more wanted a Bible worker that could kind of do some health stuff. So anyways, I liked the sound of the Philippines the best, and I applied and got into the application process and got accepted a few weeks ago. And so, so I will be going. I had a friend who went to the same spot in the Philippines. It's an island called Palawan. Conveniently, the only place in the Philippines that is infested with malaria. And yeah, I was talking to my friend who had been there actually for a few years, and he said, yeah, you really haven't been a missionary in Palawan till you have malaria. So that's cool, except that I won't be able to give blood when I get back, and that's the disappointing part. So I'm going there, and they're a pretty well-established mission. They've had a family living there since I think 95, so quite a few years. So they've had a missionary presence there for a while, and they have a good school running, a good church, and a clinic, which is where I'll be working. And I wrote down my little what they said my kind of job description is: day-to-day diagnosing and treating patients, dealing with tropical diseases, stitching wounds, wound treatment and dressing, IVs, health education, and pulling teeth, potentially. So, didn't sign up to be a dentist, but that might happen. Outside my scope of practice here, but anything goes there, I think. So that's what I'll be doing. And more importantly, I mean, like, Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he ministered to people's physical health. You know, he healed them, and then he bade them follow him. And the nursing is an incredible opportunity to help them with things that are real, that are needed right then. And it's a way that I can share with them the Jesus that I've grown to love. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to learn so much this year about about mission work, about how it's conducted in these areas. And it is only a year. I would love to go long-term sometime, but I'm just kind of going to get my feet wet first and see where God leads me next. Throughout my life, as I said, like, the song that we sing, He Leadeth Me, it's become an important song to me because I've seen, even if I can't really explain, but I can see the ways that God has led me through each step of the way, preparing me little by little for the calling that He has for my life. And the calling, I mean, it started here. You know, God has led me into ministries around Walla Walla campus and different things like that that has given me opportunities to practice, you know, to play missionary here. And everyone is a missionary, amen, like if they want to be. But I just pray that going forward, that in when God calls me in Isaiah 6, 8, the voice of the Lord said, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" And I pray that my response every step of the way, not just in the big decisions of life, but day to day, that my response will always be, "Here I am, send me." Linda will be giving the second half of this sermon, and she is wonderful. She is my sister's mother-in-law, and I've been living with her for the last few years, and I've learned so much from living with her. It's been a blessing.
Thank you, Larissa. Then Larissa chose our Bible text for today, Romans chapter 10. All the stuff I had planned to say to you went out the window. Because this is an interesting text, and my background is in rhetoric and communication, and it's interesting to hear how Paul deals with it. But I want first to talk about the sunrise. This sunrise this morning was just amazing. I mean, it started out, I actually was going to wear a blue coat, but it started out as pink as my coat, just in one place. Just pink and beautiful. And then it got less pink and more orange. And pretty soon there were just bits and pieces of beauty all over the sky. Just so pretty that I just couldn't stand it. So I woke up my husband and I said, "Look at the sunrise." And he looked. And a few minutes later, I woke him up again and I said, "Look at the sunrise." And he looked. And a few minutes later, I said, "Look at the sunrise." And his eyes stayed tightly closed. So I went over and I pulled one open. Because it was so beautiful that I just had to share it. I just had to share it. One of the things that's been fun with living with Larissa is watching her relationship with God. That is just so beautiful that she has to share it. And she has to share it not just with the folks at Renew or just in our home, but wherever she goes, at Walla Walla Community College and other places, when those opportunities come, and some of you have talked of those opportunities today as well, you want to say, "Yes, God is worth calling on. God is worth knowing. I want to have you turn with me, if you would, to our text in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I want to start reading in verse 13. Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. "The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We have a fantastic God, as one of you said earlier. But that God is not exclusive to us. He's not just the Lord of us. He's not just the Lord of the people who look like us. He's not just the Lord of the people in our invisible bubble of culture. that we don't even know we're in until we get out of it and realize, oh, people do things different some places. Some of you have been there and been to places where you know there's other ways to think. And the Lord is Lord of those people too. That thrills me. It thrills me that our God is not just the God of us, but that he is the God of a bigger family. And that it's worth peeling their eyes open if necessary so they can see. I hope that's not literal. I joined 23andMe a few years ago. It's a genetic testing because my doctor wanted me to do some genetic testing. But in the process of getting those genes tested, periodically I get an email that says, you have new DNA relatives. And why that is so important to me is because my father died when I was 8, and by the time I was 12, we had lost all the people on my dad's side. I didn't know anyone from my father's family that was still alive. And some of those new DNA relatives have been Ricky and Robin and Lee and people that I did not know existed, but they're family. We share the same DNA. And I have such fun on Facebook watching the things they do and thinking, yes, that's DNA. That's like me. That's something that we share together because we are family. And I think it's fun watching that similarities. I wonder if it's not true also that if we could learn what we could learn about our God and how we are like him from these faraway relatives that we've never met, from these folks in the Palawan that Larissa is going to go and nurse with. They don't know we're family. But when they serve our God, we're going to be family together. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be allowed to be part of the family. So everyone is welcome and everyone is wanted, and God is rich enough that everyone will be wealthy in his grace. But Paul admits there is a problem here. Yes, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And incidentally, that text comes back from Joel 2, where he's talking about the end of the world, and the sun is going to be darkened, and the moon turned to blood, and the towers of smoke, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That's where that comes from. So it's especially pertinent, I think, to us at the end of time. But Paul admits there's a problem, and here's his problem. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And then notice this little switch from the they to a different they. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And for the next few minutes, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the sent. How are they to preach unless they are sent? The preach word in that is the Greek kerusso, which is not necessarily a preaching in a religious sense, but it is the kind of preaching that Jesus did, especially when he first started his ministry. And it means a giving of news, a herald, a proclaimer. One of those things that says, hey, wake up, the sunrise is worth looking at. There is a God who cares for you. So while our preaching can be a form of kerusso, it's not just the religious preaching, but it's also anything that will help tell people about our God, like nursing for Larissa, like teaching, like attending to physical and mental and social and emotional and spiritual needs, like Liliana was doing when she talked to the woman who was scared of dying. That's a good news, a kerusso kind of preaching. But how can they preach unless they're sent? Now, I'm a communication person. My degree is in communication studies, and that is what I have studied most, and that's what I do at Walla Walla. And sent implies a transaction. So work with me in this transaction. Someone, I'm going to put it on this side. No, I'm going to put it on this side, so this is your side. Someone, a sender, has a need, something they need fulfilled at a distance. Okay? And for some reason, they can't go themselves. So the sender is someone with a need to fulfill. And they ask or commission or delegate someone else who's going to be sent. Someone who can go, maybe even far away, to go and fulfill the need of the sender. Think about this from your own family. Someone needs chocolate at the grocery store, and you are busy, and you can't go get it right now. So you delegate, and you say, you are my sent person, go get chocolate. Okay? Now, in God's case, he's the someone, and he's not worried about chocolate, I think. But he does call and send us to do a very special message, to go and fill that need. And often his need is related to a person or a people who are in their own place and who will receive that person who is sent on behalf of the sender and will or will not allow the mission to be accomplished, depending on how they choose to accept or not, if they're willing to have their eyes peeled open or not. Okay? So it's a transaction. The someone sends a sent, the sender sends a sent to the people. The people receive the sent and then get the gift. And ideally, people are satisfied and happy with what they get and learn to appreciate the sender because they see the person who is sent. If you would go back to verses 13 to 15, Paul said that if everyone who would call on the name of the Lord to be saved would be saved, but they need to encounter the one that was sent because they need to hear and then believe, and then they can call and be saved. So the sender is God, the people are the Palawano in this case, and the mission is for the people to be saved. And Laressa is, in this case, the sent who said, here I am, send me. Where are we in this process? I mean, sometimes you know we're the people who go and get the chocolate. And sometimes we're the people who need the chocolate delivered to us. And sometimes, as in this case, we're offering the opportunity to be the senders, the co-senders with God. So we want to participate in God's bigger mission, in God's bigger goal to save everyone who calls. And to save everyone who calls, they need to have that process of encountering, hearing, believing, and then calling and being saved. Sometimes we're constrained by time. We can't go ourselves. Sometimes we're constrained by relationships or by responsibilities. I cannot imagine at this moment dropping everything and taking off. I don't think it would be good for the people that I serve. It might be good for me, but I don't think it would be good for everyone. Sometimes we don't have the physical ability to go. Sometimes we don't have the motivation to go. So we can't always go ourselves to the people far away. We can't always be the sent person, but we can send those who are called. We can send them by praying for them. I hope that you'll be praying for Laressa as she goes and maybe contracts malaria. And certainly encounters lots of people and gives them a chance to hear that God matters. I hope that you will encourage her, that you might write or email to her. I hope that you will support her with your gifts, especially the money right now, to make sure she can go. Because we can make sure that she is sent and that she goes, and we can continue to pray and wait and listen to know that the message is successful and fulfills the desire of our ultimate sender, who is God. Ideally, people will encounter Laressa and the other people we send. Ideally, they will hear about our good God through Laressa and others we send. Ideally, they will believe in God, the God that we believe in, and it will be our God, because they also are believing, and we are learning together to know him. Then people will be glorified with God, to glorify God, and Laressa will be satisfied, and we'll be delighted as well. It could be that some of those people will actually come here. I've been surprised how often places draw people from various places, and we get to actually meet someone from far away. My daughter went to Pohnpei last year as a student missionary, and there are a number of folks from Pohnpei that we have met and hosted in our home because they have come, and we've gotten to see the people that people were sent to, and that's fun. Maybe we'll have to wait until Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. And why don't you turn with me to that, Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It's the ones that we sent to preach, so those who heard the preaching could hear, so those who heard could believe, so those who believed could call, and calling could be saved, and together with us can call out, "Salvation belongs to our God, our God." Thank you for helping make that happen. Thank you for sending, for being willing to be sent, so that all can hear, believe, call, be saved, enjoy our God. Because sunrise and our God are most beautiful when they're shared. Thank you.